Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. You know, this month we're focusing on marriage, and especially marriages where there is a child with special needs in the family, because we know firsthand the stresses and the trials that can come into a family when there is someone in the family who has special needs. And we want to do everything we can do to equip couples to know how to navigate those stresses and know how to best maneuver around those hard things and those hard challenges that are just a part of the special needs life. And in today's conversation, oh, I just cannot wait for you to get to hear from my friends, Joe and Cindy Farini. I had the opportunity to talk with them and hear their love story, hear about how they met, and about their new book that has just come out called Love Always. And that book is available now at Amazon, and we'll provide all the information that you need to find out more about that in our show notes. We're also super excited because this month we released our retreat experience with our Together Marriage Conference that we did back in September. And at that conference, we had TJ and Casey Overstreet, who were a part of that, and they shared their story and part of their journey of raising their child with special needs. And also Steve and Lori Chapman, who share their story and their life as special needs parents. And I had the opportunity to share a little bit about my marriage with Jeff and the trials and things that we faced, but how in the end it only brought us closer together. And so that is available now on our website on the resources section. So if you go to risingaboveministries.org and go to the resources section, you can find where you can download that retreat experience so that you can do it alone with your spouse in a schedule and a time that fits best for you. Or if you are a church, you can put on a whole retreat experience for the different couples in your church who are raising a child with special needs. It's just a fabulous resource that we wanted to put out there to come alongside and equip and encourage couples who are raising a child with special needs. So go and check that out. There's also so many other resources available at our website, downloadable Bible study curriculum, small group curriculum, free downloads. There's so many resources there. So be sure to go and check that out. But now I cannot wait for you to get to hear the heart from Joe and Cindy Farini about their heart and their love for couples raising children with special needs. And I know that you're going to learn so much as you listen to them. Hey, Joe and Cindy, thank you guys so much for joining me today for the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I am excited about this conversation, and I'm excited for our Rising Above families to get to know you guys and know more about your journey as a special needs couple and as it relates to marriage. So thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about your family.
All right. Well, I get to start. Joe's tapping my knee, so I'll get to start. So, we have our son who has special needs. His name's Joey. He's 38 years old. And then we have two daughters who are, I don't think they'll mind us sharing their age, 35 and 30. The oldest of the two has two little boys, and the youngest has a little boy also, but a little boy. He's almost 3 months.
Wow.
So we have, you know, a full family, and the joy of having Joey has been really a lot of what we've learned over these years, because our daughters came after him, and so they didn't know anything different than our already little family with Joey, and so they just kind of entered into a mix of a lot of things, and I'm sure your listeners will understand that, you know, a lot of the victories and challenges. And a lot of the hard times too.
Yeah.
And so we love having them. We love having the opportunity really to see who God has made them to be too. Maybe that'll come out a little bit the more we talk.
Yeah, that is great. So you guys have been married for 41 years or 40 years?
40 years.
40 years. Congratulations. I mean, that's huge. 40 and a half. That congratulations, because that's amazing. And so share a little bit about your love story. How did you guys meet? Tell, and I want to hear it now. You know, there, Joe's going to have his perspective. Cindy's going to have her perspective. So okay. Let's hear how you met and fell in love.
Okay, now she's tapping my knee. So
you go first.
Well, she wants to hear what you have to say first, and then she'll have her rebuttal, you know.
Well, right? You know that's coming. That's right. That's right. Anyways, we knew each other in high school. I was a year ahead of her, and actually I dated a friend of hers. Mm. She dated a friend of mine. We went on to become engaged to these two people. And after I went off to college, she went to a different college. And so we really didn't see each other during that time of college. I then went off to dental school at Ohio State. But prior to that, Cindy broke off her engagement to her fiance, where first she became a Christian.
Mm-hmm. I became a Christian first and realized that, you know, even though it was a very nice relationship and we had dated 8 years, I just really realized that it wasn't who God had for me. And I asked him, really, just show me one or two reasons why. Because as you know, when you date someone for a long time, even if it's not a real long time, you become part of their family.
Right.
You become a part of yours, your friends, you share, you know. And so that was a tough decision in that regard. But because the Lord really showed me like 100 different reasons why I need to, I felt like that became an easy decision in some ways. So
that's how she broke off her engagement. And for me, what happened was that there was a big falling out between my fiance and my family. And I found myself in the middle of these two warring factions. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to bring some peace and harmony between those two warring factions, and things did not get any better. Actually, they got much worse. Mm-hmm. So that 1 month before our wedding day, I called off the marriage.
Wow.
And that was not an easy thing to do, but it was certainly, looking back, that it was the right thing to do. And so we come away from that relationship realizing that there are things that we expect in our marriage relationships that even going into it at this point, it was not there. Mm. And so what happened then at that point was that I had a real good friend in dental school. Jim and his wife, Lisa, they just began to take a real interest in me. And they just began to share with me about their personal relationship with Jesus. And at the time, that made no sense to me. I was brought up to be a very religious person, but having a personal relationship with God made no sense to me.
Yeah.
But they were faithful. And at some point in time, when I got to that crisis point that we all seem to get to at some point in time in our lives, I said to God, okay, God, if you are who Jim says you are, I will give my life to you. And that began the journey with me and the Lord. And it was about 2.5 years later, after I finished dental school, that I saw Cindy for the first time in all those years. And we actually were in church, and she was in the front of the church. I was in the back of the church. And I said to myself, that's one beautiful woman up there, and I need to get to know this person.
As
I was getting closer and closer, I realized, oh my goodness, that's Cindy Camilla. And so I'm thinking, she's married to my friend. And
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh my goodness.
And so my first question was, after I said hello, I said, so where is your husband? And she said, well, I never got married. And she said to me, so where is your wife? And I said, well, I never got married.
Oh, I love that.
And immediately, you know, fireworks and...
you're like, this is it.
We're popping in my head. And so at that point, Cindy being the friendly person that she is, she invited actually me to come over to her house. Mm-hmm. And would you share that part?
Sure. Well, I think one thing that's interesting in our story is all of those things that we just shared were pretty much happening simultaneously,
but
we didn't know it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really a good word for anyone who's listening is, as the Lord prompts your heart in different ways, really be obedient to Him, because you don't know what He has for you. You know, in the moments where we had to make those decisions to not marry those people, I remember thinking, I'm so old. I was 20, you know, 3 or something. I'm so old, I'll never get married. And that was just such a lie. But at the time, that was a big decision because I thought, who will I ever meet? But anyhow, so just, you know, be listening to the Lord because he has something to say to each one of us. And I'm so thankful that we both made those decisions and that when we came into our relationship, it was like a clean slate. And, you know, I don't even know if, well, I think she was married. I don't think my guy was married at the time, but he might have been. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It just was like a clean slate, and it was wonderful how the Lord had put us together. And when we see them, like at class reunions or different things, it's really nice. It's, you know, it might be a little awkward at times, but once you get to talking, things are real nice, and it's just how life is sometimes, you know? So when we met at church, we had, you know, just a very nice little conversation, and I had asked Joe, since we were talking kind of long, I said, why don't you just come over to my apartment? My roommate and a couple other gals are coming over for brunch. We'd love to have you come over. We just had a real friendly group of people. And so, you know, I wasn't thinking that he's a potential dating prospect or marriage for that matter, but we had, you know, this little brunch and he came over. And when I think back to it, I think, you know, all of us were these young teachers. All of us were single. So I was bringing him over to meet all these
girls. Them, yeah. Thumbs up, right, Joe? Yeah.
So
it's all good.
All good.
Yeah. All good.
When he came over, when he left the church, he said that he really felt that God said to him, she's the one. But after the brunch, we sat outside on my little deck and we just chatted and kind of caught up and everything. And I wasn't thinking anything like that. And so I remember saying to him how much I enjoyed being single and how happy I was and how, you know, what God has done in my life. And, you know, Joe Farini was a friend from high school. So I'm just telling him what I would tell him.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, he's sitting there thinking, well, either she's not listening or you haven't talked to her yet, you know? So it was a little while later, after we began dating, about a month later, he came over with a friend and asked if I would like to go out. And it was just so casual. Would you like to go out for dinner? Sure. So we went out to dinner and really pretty much we just had such a nice time. So many, if you will, like foundational things were really in common. Our personalities are very different. He's more quiet and reserved. I'm much more outgoing. But the foundation of what we believed, what our goals were so very similar. And so we kind of clicked pretty quickly. When he began to get more serious, I guess I just wasn't thinking that way too quickly. So when he began getting serious, he just had to say to me, when you're ready to talk about that, let me know. Then I was like, oh, now the pressure's on me.
Yeah, funny. But look at you 40 years later. I mean, here you are.
Exactly. 40
years later. Yep. And you've got this beautiful family. And what's really exciting is that you've taken all the things that you have learned. You guys go and speak at conferences all around the country. Tell me the organization you're usually with, the ministry you usually go with.
Family Life.
Family Life, yes. And so,
the Weekend to Remember conference.
Yes, the Weekend to Remember conferences. And so you guys go around and pour into marriages. But something that exciting that's just within the last month or so has happened is that you have had the release of your new book.
Yes.
And I was honored to get to have an advanced copy and read it and get to endorse the book. And so it's what a great resource it is. The book is called Love Always. So tell a little bit about the title. And I think there's a special story about the photo on the book, isn't there?
Yes. Well, on the front cover it says Love All, A-L-L, Ways, Love All Ways. And on the cover is an open Bible, of course, to the Psalm
139, 140.
Yeah. And so, you know, just talking about God knowing us before we were born. But the ring, Love Always, on the front of this book, it's engraved in this way, Love Always. And it was actually my mom's 50th wedding anniversary ring. Mm. And she had been taking care of my dad already for about 5 years. He had Alzheimer's. And so she really, really wanted to be married for 50 years. And honestly, that last year and a half, we just didn't know if that was going to happen. And so when she got this ring, that was what she wanted engraved in it. The whole idea of loving, not just always, but in all ways. Mm-hmm. And I know you know that part of the story for yourself as well. Yeah. And I feel like both of our parents, Joe's parents were married 55 and a half years, my parents 51 and a half. And I feel like they just gave us such a legacy. You know, no marriage is perfect. Let's just start off with that, right? No marriage is perfect, but they really modeled for us the ins and outs of life, the end of life journey, mm-hmm. and what that looked like. And so, you know, this ring was like the perfect thing to put on the front of this book. It just gave us the perfect title for it. And so I love being able to share that it's my mom's ring.
Yeah.
It was my ring. And now it's my ring.
And now it's your ring. Well, it's a beautiful cover. And so what's great about this book is that, you know, there's tons of books out there that are written for marriage in general. But this book is different in that it is specific for couples that are raising children with special needs. And so I love that because I don't know of another book out there right now that, you know, specifically addresses the unique needs of couples who are raising children with special needs. So what was your heart behind? Why did you want to write this book? Why was it important for you to get this message out?
Well, you know, being that we speak for family life, we had thought we should write a book on marriage. But, you know, every time we sat down to put something together, it was like there was just this roadblock. And we're thinking, you know, all these famous people who have written books, you know, and the stories are all out there. And we thought, what do we have to contribute that they haven't already contributed? Mm-hmm. Honestly, we never thought about the special needs piece.
How fun.
Until I went to an agent and asked if she would consider looking at our book, Unexpected Journey, which is self-published as well. Would she look at that and consider putting that into publication through, you know, a traditional publisher? And what she said to me was, and I'll never forget because I was sitting in my car as we were having this conversation, she said, you know, I really like your chapter on marriage. I wonder if you would sort of take that out and work on that. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Totally missed that, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, we know our marriage is different because of this.
Right.
Of having a son with special needs. But I think what happens is all of us who care for one with special needs, we just do it because we love them.
Right.
And we make it look easy. And I think sometimes it just becomes our pattern that we don't often think of it as being any different, and it is.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we probably can interject at this point is that I don't think we could have written this book had we not written the previous book.
Mm, okay.
And the reality is, I mean, that book was very difficult to write.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was one of those books that I never wanted to even begin about mm-hmm. that project.
Right.
Because what it required that we had to go back and open up all those wounds
mm-hmm.
that we thought we had covered up.
Yeah.
And so we, as you know, I mean, yeah. if you're going to be of any value to anybody, you have to become vulnerable and you have to become transparent.
Yeah.
And so that was actually a very difficult journey for us to have to go back and open those scars again.
Yeah.
But, with that behind us, and there was, you know, I think great value to that book because that book actually is used in some colleges today to train people going through a master's program and special needs education, educators. And so that's wonderful for that. But that book was primed us to write this book.
Yeah.
Of all ways. And sometimes you just, things are so obvious, you don't see them sometimes. And,
well, it wasn't time. The timing was right. Now the time was right. And so You ran with it. But, you know, and throughout the book, you all break down the marriage vows, the wedding vows. And, you know, I think about back, you know, when Jeff and I got married, we are 23, 24 years old, and we're standing there in front of the church and in front of God, in front of each other and our family, and we're saying these vows, and we didn't have a clue what we were saying. They're just words at that point. We had no idea how those vows were going to be tested over our 26 years of marriage. But you guys take the vows and you break them down. And I think, you know, that is the case for, I mean, so many couples that you don't really realize, okay, these things that you're committing to, they're going to be tested in ways that you cannot even fathom. So how do you break that down in the book? How does that broken down in the book, and how do you kind of share with couples, okay, now these are, you made a promise and this is what this means, and especially in relation to the special needs world.
Sure. That's right. Well, what I'd like to do is answer your question, and then I'd like to have Joe take it like one step deeper.
Okay.
As well. So the reason that we wanted to do that is because we recognize that, and I was one of them. I remember standing at that altar, similar to what you just described, and in my head thinking, we'll never be poor. We'll never be anything negative, because we're going to make it.
We're so in love, and everything's going to be, yeah.
Perfect. And so, I remember thinking that, like, I'm going to recite these because I'm in it to win it, but this will never happen to us. So that was kind of funny. So I felt like it was important, we both did, that we should go through the vows and talk about what that means, well, for us as a couple for sure, but especially in light of having a child with special needs. Because, you know, in sickness and in health, sometimes you have a child that's sick for a really long time, maybe forever, you know, until they go to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so you don't know. You just don't know. But also as it relates to a husband and wife, there's also that aspect that there may come a time that one of us will need the help of the other. Mm-hmm. And they become the person who's ill becomes special needs in their whatever way.
Yep, that was our story. That's my story. You know?
Exactly. So you know, and when you're in that, you know, you do have a choice.
Absolutely.
You know what? This is too hard for me. Mm-hmm. And then you have whatever choices you might have. Either what is it? Put that person in a home, or leave that person. Or have them home, but just neglect them. And we've seen a lot of those things.
Yeah.
So we just felt like just how important it's going to be for us to take these vows seriously. And I would love it if people that went through their pre-engagement or their engagement pre-marriage counseling, if they had to be given some scenarios. Like, okay, so you have to change your husband's diaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a son's diaper. Now, we don't have to do that with our Joey, but we have come close on occasions because just the other day, he had a pretty bad accident, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, how are you going to love not only that person, if it's your child, or how are you going to love your husband or wife through it when you're having to do things that are very uncomfortable, messy? And our goal, of course, in marriage and in life in general has been, we aren't going to just do what is right, what is easy, comfortable, and fun. We're going to do what's right.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy, mm-hmm. because sometimes you have to do things that are unpleasant. And I guess I would add, too, that as we wrote Unexpected Journey and also this book, Love Always, one of the things we wanted to do was we wanted to be raw. Not raw so we make everybody upset or, you know, sick to their stomach or anything like that. But we wanted to give them the realities. So many books that I read when Joey was little, so now 38 years ago, 35 to 38 years ago, I remember it just being like, God is good and wonderful and everything will turn out fine. And I remember thinking, then why is every day so hard?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot has to do with your attitude. And, of course, Unexpected Journey talks about all of those things. But as it relates to our marriage, we have to come to a place of really serving one another. Mm-hmm. And you can't serve in a marriage when all you want is the positive things. You can't serve in marriage when all you want is your way.
Right.
And sometimes that's really hard. And so I think to dig this a little bit deeper, to say that sometimes, you know, when we make these vows, we really don't know what we're doing. And so in our head, we've really made a contract not a covenant.
Mm.
And so I'd like for Joe just to maybe talk about that.
You know, one of the highlights at our conferences is when we actually we have a renewing of our vows. We have all of our conferees share their vows, and once again, as a group. And I think where we see this to be a very moving time in people's lives, and we're not talking about couples with special needs children per se necessarily, but just couples in general. But oftentimes when we're speaking at our conferences, you know, we are doing crisis counseling with people. And in essence, if we can just stand back far enough and evaluate what it is we're hearing people say, is that where the wheels begin to fall off this cart is that people begin to think more contractually rather than in a covenant. When someone enters into a contractual relationship, when it comes to one's marriage, they're making a choice. The first choice is that they believe that they came together so that you can make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when a couple comes into a marriage relationship under the covenant, under the vows of that relationship, the covenant relationship says that God brought us together for his purposes. And one of his primary purposes is to make us holy, not to make us happy.
Mm, that's good.
And so that changes the whole complexion of marriage to begin with.
Yeah.
So if all you can think of is contractually, it becomes a lot easier to bail out of a relationship, whether there's a special needs person there or not. But it is truly tested, as you know, when you are in one of those
in the trenches. Yeah.
You know, and you know, it begins to be, you know, reality, you know, kind of hits you in the face like every day, and you have to make choices, and the choices that you have to make is, are you really in this thing for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and that's not going to happen if you're thinking contractually.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, so many of our families, I know because I lived it for so many years. So many of our families are in crisis mode all the time. You know, we would wake up in the morning, quite honestly, we didn't know if we would be ending up in the hospital that day, or, you know, if Jeff was going to go into surgery, if he was going to survive or not. We lived in that world with him, but then in addition to that, having that, you know, John Alex, his care too. And so I know that that pressure cooker that so many of our families live in. And so what do you say to encourage couples who are in that moment of, you know, we don't know whether we're going to be in and out of the hospital. We're constant. We're just trying to breathe today. You know, we're just trying to make it through this day. How do you encourage couples to come united in that, come together in that and say, you know what, we're a team and we're going to do this. What are some of the things that you've learned along the way to help encourage couples who are in that, that crisis situation so much of their married life?
Sure. Well, I'll share a story with you. And, you know, our Joey is not, he has a lot of medical issues, but he's not medically fragile like we know some people who, we have some friends that they're in the hospital all the time. One of their children has had like 70 surgeries or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. So our journey in that regard is a bit different. However, I remember a time when Joey was going through seizures. He has epilepsy. When he was going through seizures, that he had vomited and he was very sick. And by the time we got to his room, he was turning blue. Joe gave him CPR. And, you know, we went into our, what we call team mode, T-E-A-M, together each accomplishes more. So Joe, being the calm, he's a dentist by profession, so he's just sort of more medically thinking, you know, and I'm more organized, let's clean up the mess. So that's what we went into. We went into what we do best. As a team, together each accomplishes more. After we got everything cleaned up and Joey was, you know, kind of back with us again and certainly, as is usually the case with seizures, totally out of it for a long time, we kind of got a grip of things. And I just looked at Joe and I just said, I don't know if I can continue doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me in his calm way and said, let's give it till tomorrow morning.
Mm.
And I thought, I mean, I remember even thinking right there, oh my gosh, that's really wisdom. Yeah. And I wasn't screaming or anything. I just was like, I was kind of giving up, just like, I don't, and he wasn't even, you know, what was he, maybe 12, maybe at the most. And I, you know, who would have ever thought we'd have a son that's 38 years old? You know, we've been doing this for 38 years. So anyway, that was a good realization for me and for both of us to realize sort of the, when one is weak, the other has to be strong, and the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's what that was in that moment. He was my strength. And after we, you know, got everything situated, and probably one of us stayed next to him all night, I don't remember that detail. When I got up in the morning, I do remember thinking that things do look different today.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important word. I love that, because I actually remember a time, it was actually during Jeff's first sickness, and I'm caring for Jeff, I'm caring for John Alex. And I remember it was a Sunday morning, and I was like, I can't keep doing this. I cannot keep doing this. But then the next day, things, they look different. Your whole perspective changes. And so you, I think you have to be willing to just kind of step back, take a deep breath, and it's not always going to be this hard. We're going to have hard seasons, but it's not always going to be this hard.
Sure. But what you said is really good, and I want listeners to hear that, because we will have those moments and those seasons where we feel like, I can't do it anymore. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with your marriage. It just simply means that in that moment, you've had enough.
Yeah.
And so we need to give ourselves, and maybe this is a really good time to maybe just take a little mention of it and say, we all need to have time for ourselves, for us as a couple, to really evaluate what's important to us, and then to get up and do it again tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. And how do you recommend couples do that? You know, how do you recommend couples walk through that to get to that place? Because a lot of parents listening to this are going, I don't have time to go get a shower. You know, I don't have, my day is so full. How can I even do that? How do you walk couples through that?
The one thing I would say is people need to begin to think outside of the box, because a lot of times, and I would be the first to admit, I'm sure I've done this, where people say, well, have you ever tried this? And then you're like, well, no, I tried it, but, you know, what, did they try it once? You know, sometimes we have to try things a number of times before they actually work. And so one of the things that we try to do is to explain to people different things that they maybe can look into. The waiver program, we have a waiver program in our area. It's through the county. And it helps for parents to have respite care so that they can even go take a shower, for that matter, you know. We have a family in our neighborhood, dear friends of ours for many, many years. They have two girls, 100% care they need. And they have people, they have staff in their house every day from morning until bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And their girls' needs are very severe, and they're both medically fragile. And they could not do what they do without other people. But then let's take that a step further. They're never alone in their own house.
Right.
Because they always have helpers, you know. But they also have a friend that has, for 15 years, given them a date night once a week.
Wow.
Now, believe it or not, someone had said to them, I wish I could do that. I just think, are you kidding? Like, if you can get out with a babysitter, you can do that.
Yeah.
These people need trained nurses,
mm-hmm,
and another caregiver in order for them to get out.
Right.
And so I look at that and I just think, what a blessing that they have someone in their life that doesn't charge them to come,
mm-hmm,
watch their daughters, gives them 3, 4, 5 hours one night a week, and they take it. And every so often we'll get to go out with them. We'll say, we need a time that we need to get together. It's always such a blessing. There's such a breath of fresh air as a couple. So we need to do those things. Sometimes people offer and we'll say,
That's what I was getting ready to say. You know, we have to be willing to accept
yes,
the help.
Yes, absolutely. Right. So when someone offers, in fact, I have a list. I have a list of names. Now, Joey's 38. He's pretty chill these days. He's come through all those really difficult challenges of little ages and puberty. I don't think anyone should be able to write a book until their child has gone through puberty.
I hear you.
Just let me know out there. But I think that, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to be humbled to accept help, humble to ask for help, yielding always to the Lord for the things that He is giving you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we make, as I said earlier, we make it look too easy because we know the routine, we know how to do it. But you know what? If someone offers, you should take it.
Yeah.
And just one moment back to the list. I do have a list of people, and every so often I just kind of get back with them and say, I just want to thank you so much that I still have you on my list.
Mm.
You know, if I needed something urgently, I could call on them.
And I think, you know, I know so often we, especially as parents, want to be in control, and we feel like if we relinquish that control, that everything's going to fall apart. But you know, then you get in situations like I did with Jeff being in and out of the hospital. I had to rely on people. And so it's so much better to go ahead early on and start letting people into your life so yeah. that when those things do come up, you've got people you can trust and feel confident that they will know how to care for your child. It's hard to let go. But when you do, then it opens up so many doors for you and for them.
Yes. You know what? They don't offer unless they're willing.
Absolutely.
I don't think most people make the, we have many friends, and many of our friends have not made an offer to help. Mm-hmm. But the ones that have, I know they mean it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything against the ones who have an offer.
Right. It's just different.
You know, a different scenario, and maybe they're not as comfortable. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I don't know if I would have offered. It had my journey not been what it is. Yeah. I can't say that I would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's something interesting. Just kind of playing off of what you just said there, Cindy. I remember this one time we were going to go out with this one evening with a group of these friends. And put those in quotes there.
Quotes. Yeah. Air quotes.
and we were going to go out to dinners. There's five couples, I think. And wouldn't you know, just before we were to go out and to leave and have dinner, something, the toilet overflowed or it got stuck or there was water over the place. It was just a mess. And we just called our friends up and said, hey, listen, this is what happened. And you know what they said to us? Well, gosh, we'll be praying for you. But we'll see you later on. And we said, okay. And wouldn't you know what this couple that Cindy's talking about?
With the two girls.
The two girls, 24/7. They called up.
We were to meet for dinner with some friends, and then these friends with the two special needs, they were going to come over later because they were passing our house. And they said, could we drop by and just hang out for a little bit? And we were like, yeah, that'd be great. So go ahead.
And when we told them about the situation
and, you know, canceled,
we had to cancel our dinner because we had this water problem and blah blah blah. Their first response was, "Hey, we'll be right over. We'll come over and help you."
Of course, yeah, that's amazing. That is so great.
What? Really?
Like, you're the ones who have more going on than anybody else, and yet you're willing to sacrifice and come and serve.
Yeah. We could be asking you that question. Yeah. Can we do anything for you? Yeah. At this point, but no, they would really drop everything and come on over and help us. And you know, that God is shaping within us parents of special needs children something that's very unique, and I think that's one of the blessings that we have as parents of special needs children, is that we have something that our other friends do not have. Mm-hmm. And that is, we have seen God at work because of our situations in ways that these people will never see.
Right.
And so in essence, you know, after, you know, and now getting up in age here a little bit now and being married for 40 years and 38-year-old special needs son, we're realizing that there are different groups of people or categories of people that we need to be very intentional with in terms of respecting each other. But these friends, quote unquote, They're more like acquaintances.
Right.
All right.
Right.
These folks with special needs kids, these are intimate friends.
Yes.
And we need to surround ourselves with people who are like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the beauty of that too is what that does to your marriage, because it strengthens your marriage to be with other people who totally get what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. We end each podcast with the one thing. And so I want you to envision yourself, you know, you're sitting across the table from a couple that have a child with special needs. They're struggling in their marriage. What would be the one thing each of you would say to that couple to encourage them on this journey of raising their child with special needs?
Right. Well, of course, it depends on the conversation that led up to that.
True.
But I think it's important for them to be encouraged and understand that, you know, God has meant marriage to be something much bigger and better than happily ever after. And I think one of the things that I would try to do, and we try to do, is to help couples understand that God has a purpose for your marriage, that He has brought you together to reflect His image in a way that couples that are not going through a special needs journey cannot do. And I think that's, you know, helping people understand that marriage was created with a purpose, for purposes. And one of the primary purposes is to be a reflection or to mirror God's image. And we can do that as married couples, and we can especially do it as married couples with special needs, to reflect a quality of God's character in a way that couples without a special needs child cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, and we say this kind of jokingly and half jokingly, but we mean it, is that we say to each other, and you know, don't you feel sorry for our empty nest friends out there that don't get to experience their child coming into their room at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
Or all of the above.
Or all the above.
All the above, yes.
Coming into bed with you. I mean, our son is 6'4". And he still wants to come in bed with us, you know, and we're cool with that. But you know, our empty nester friends don't get to have that experience.
Right.
And so there are many blessings, and it takes a while to get to that point. And I'll just
Absolutely.
Be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, up front, I probably should have said at the beginning of our conversation that I did not jump into this thing wholeheartedly.
Right.
You know, I jumped into this thing thinking, hey, for better, right? For richer, right? I mean, that's all this about. And this having a special needs child was not on my original set of blueprints for my marriage. And so I had a difficult time jumping into it. But what made the turning point for me was, and this is what I would tell these couple, is that God has designed your child just the way He wants him to be. And that it is now your responsibility to be the husband, to be the dad, in case of moms, to be the wife, to be the mom that God has called you to be, that your child so desperately needs for you to be. And you need to jump into that wholeheartedly. You just can't kind of tip your toes in that thing. You got to jump in on that decision. But to get to that point, you need to come full circle with this covenant relationship idea. I understand that God has designed your marriage to reflect His purpose for marriage. And so that's pretty unique.
Yeah. Cindy, what would you say?
I like that a lot, what Joe just said. I would probably add, and this would be whether I was talking to a couple, if I were talking to a single parent, or if I were talking to young or old couple, wouldn't matter. And I would say to realize that in all areas of life, as well as marriage, there's different seasons.
That's true.
And today is not going to be the same as it will be in 10 years, as it will be in 20 or 30. When we first got the diagnosis and we're trying to wrap our mind about all that this was going to be for all these next years. We didn't know if Joey would ever walk or talk. And, you know, he walks, his verbal skills are very low, but he gets his point across. But back then, I just remember thinking, like, you've got to be kidding. Like, you know, we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't this, we don't that. And this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, God, you know, helps you through those moments by realizing that not everything in life is always the way you think it should be or fair.
Right.
But I remember thinking at those in those moments just how hard this is and why are we having to go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If God were to have asked us when Joey was about 10 or 12, you know, would you like me to heal him? Because we prayed for a healing for probably 5-6 years and nothing ever came. And then we thought, what Joe just said, we take him as he is, you know. But if God would have asked us when he was 12, would you like me to heal him? I think we would have probably said yes. If he were to ask us now, I don't think we would.
I know we wouldn't.
I think we would say, thank you for how you've taught us.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for how you raised our girls to love everyone
mm-hmm.
in all ways.
Yes.
We have two of the loveliest girls. We can't take any credit for raising them. I think
Joey raised them.
because of how God made Joey.
Yeah.
They had to learn to take a back seat. They had to learn to wait. They had to learn to, you know, kind of get picked on by Joey sometimes. And they are just so lovely with people in general. And it's a gift. You know, mm-hmm. Joey has been a gift to us.
Yes.
But I don't know that we would have said that early on.
Of course, right.
And now looking back, 38 years, we both just say, Lord, thank you for the gift he is. You know, when he comes in our room in the morning, and he doesn't always climb in bed, but when he does, you know, I just move over and I get sandwiched between these two men, you know. But he'll come in and kiss our cheek and our hands and say, I love you. You'll love me forever. Yes, always. You know, it's a blessing. And, you know, we've worked to get him through different things, to be where he is. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
And we're thankful that we can do it together. I would encourage all couples to really not just look at the moment, but look at time down the road, because you want to leave a legacy. And I think that we are.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's been our goal, and I think we are. And our prayer is that we would finish well. That's our prayer.
That is beautiful. And the book is such a fabulous resource. I can't wait for us to be able to share more information about the book. And, you know, where can the book be found? Where can our listeners go and purchase the book? Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon, and or they can come to us at our website where they'll see other books and other things available
okay.
to them.
We'll add those links in. So that'll be good. Yeah.
That'd be great. Awesome. So, yeah. And Facebook, we are on Facebook at My Marriage Matters.
Okay, perfect.
And we give something every day about 9 o'clock for any marriage just to encourage them.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
Yes. And
the My Marriage Matters. Short. Okay.
My Marriage Matters on Facebook. It's short. It might be a saying, it might be a meme, it might just be a question. And then on Monday mornings, we try to be faithful to it. We do a mentor moment where we do a little video. Sure.
Awesome.
So no one has to be, you know, in a time constraint.
Right.
Usually no longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 minutes, man.
Those are great resources. And we'll make sure to add all that in the show notes so perfect. That the listeners can find all the information. But I highly recommend the book to our listeners. I can't wait to see, you know, marriage was such an important thing to Jeff and myself, encouraging special needs marriages, special needs families. And so I'm so thankful to have this resource that we can recommend to the families that we love and serve, that's got it broken down, it just step by step, how you can do this life and do it well. So thank you guys for sharing your story, sharing your heart with us. And we're just very grateful for you.
Well, thank you.
And I'm grateful for you.
And we're grateful for your ministry.
Sure.
And to add, just your heart.
Yeah.
Because with
absolutely.
All that you've gone through, you are such a beautiful example. And yeah. we pray that you continue on in that way. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
You reflect the love of Christ to us.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.